this episode of Get Real Podcast, I have the beautiful and brilliant Brittany Taylor joining me. She is the star of Very Cavalieri, Kristen Cavalieri's hit reality TV show on E! Brittany and I talk about the highs and lows of having your whole world and life unfold on a TV show and what it's like to have people judge you, people feel like they have the right to weigh in on your life decisions, the pros and the cons of putting yourself out there in that way. She just turned 30. We talk about her life lessons that she's learned in her 20s and her mindset that she's moving into in the 30s. She's wise beyond her years. She's also so freaking smart. She does IT for Uncommon James, which is Kristen's store that's blowing up. So she does coding and she can read numbers. At one point she's explaining to me what she's doing and I'm like, are you speaking English? I have no idea what you're talking about. She's so smart. She's so fun. She's so wise. And I just loved this interview. So you guys get excited. Here's Brittany Taylor. Okay, so I'm here with Brittany Taylor. We had quite a morning.
We did. I mean, like, hi, welcome. Caroline, it's so good to see you. I am so glad that we were able to do this. I didn't forget.
So we've been
waking
texting.
Waking up at my house.
We've been texting for a minute. And I mean, granted, we haven't like texted that many times in our lives. So you might not have the right number.
No, I have. I looked. I also saw that I just missed 3 phone calls from you.
I was like, I'm outside your house.
Hi, I'm here. Is that okay? Yeah, behind the white Kia, because that's my car. Let me just preface this with that. I am recently broken up. I do not have a house to live in. So I'm essentially homeless, which you wouldn't guess.
Oh, well, you're and living so in great homes.
I know. I have really awesome friends
who
were like,
do.
Hey, you can stay with me. And so I've been staying in everyone's houses, but like on conditions, like I have to water the plants here.
There's a lot of plants.
I have to
here.
Mow the lawn over there. Okay. Well, not really mow the lawn, but like make sure that people show up. And so like there are schedules. So like there's the lawnmower guy for Caitlin is showing up tomorrow, but the pest control for here is today. So like people running out of the house and I have absolutely no idea who they are or what they're doing. And so this beautiful pregnant lady walks in, which by the way, my sight's 21 over 100. I don't have my glasses on. And I open the door and I'm in my towel and there you are.
And I was like,
are you Brittany Taylor?
I was like, you're Brittany. Like we've met and hung out several times, right? Because like, you looked like you saw a ghost when you
I
saw
did.
Me.
I did.
You're like, who is this person in the living room?
I thought that someone had scheduled for this house. Like, I thought like the owner had scheduled whatever and I like missed something because that's kind of my life right now. So I was like, wait a minute, this couldn't have been for me. And then I was like, whoa, pregnant, blonde, Caroline. Okay, got it.
And we did schedule this.
We did.
Okay.
We did. I was late. I was late to my own thing in the house that I was already in when you came.
Okay. Hey, okay,
here
you know,
we go.
I think keeping it exciting, keeping it real. Why not?
30 is the new 20.
30 is the new 20. You're living your best life these days,
hungover,
aren't you?
Oh, God. I don't know best.
Are you nice and hungover?
Real life. You know, if hungover means 3 cups of coffee. Mm-hmm. A forgotten podcast meeting, okay. And a dog that seems to be crying, and hair that looks like this, and no makeup,
and filming in 30 minutes after we wrap this.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
I mean, you got it going on.
I am living life.
No one's saying
definitely
you're
not dead.
Bored. Definitely
not dead.
Oh, I think it's amazing. God, I mean, I'm gonna live vicariously through
this.
You.
Is gonna be a lot of fun.
It's gonna be a lot of fun.
I literally was like, my girlfriend was like, what's your goal now that like things are changing in life? I'm like, I just want to have fun. And then sure enough, this picture shows up from last night. Oh, this will explain
what picture?
A lot.
Okay, let's hear what was the picture.
This will explain a lot. Okay,
because you're filming
this
season
actually
three
my,
right now.
We are filming season
Very
3.
Cavalieri.
That is my leg.
Wow, you're on your back with your leg in the air in like a splits position.
Like, look at everybody being like, what's happening?
Is this, were y'all filming all this?
This was, yeah, this was last night.
So you're documented. I can't wait to see this.
Pretty gone wild.
So season 3 of Very Cavalieri.
Oh God.
A lot has happened in this show.
Yeah, a lot has happened in life.
And it's all been documented. Your life has all been documented on the show.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it? How do you feel about having your life documented on a reality show? Has it been fun?
It's, I mean, fun is not the word.
What is the
word? I think it's like, it's surreal, first off, because I truly don't think that I'm anything special. You know, like, I not that I'm not, like, in life, I have people that love me and I love them. But, like, when you think of, like, your normal everyday life and you're like, wow, I'm, like, taking a shower and being late to meetings and having a 9 to 5. Like, you don't, like, you just don't go, what about me is totally interesting that people are going to like connect with and relate to and find either fun or cringeworthy or whatever the difference is that they feel. So like that to me, I was like, wow, people actually like pay attention.
Yeah.
Okay. And then that's the scary part is, what am I saying? Like, what's my voice now? Because like, if people are watching, then I have to say something like with a backbone. And
did you know that was going to happen when you filmed the first season, or were you kind of just like, oh, I'm just going to film this, it's not real?
Okay. So I remember telling my now ex, this is so weird saying that, John.
How long have y'all been exes?
A little over a month now.
Okay.
So it's like the fresh. Rocky. Yeah. But I feel like I've gone through the grieving process and I'm now like in the stage of being like, let's just like
party.
Clearly. Yeah. Fresh.
Yeah.
So saying that, I remember telling him, hey, there's this pilot and I don't know. Like I had just gotten a phone call like, hey, would you consider doing a pilot or would you consider interviewing for it? And so I did. And I didn't think I was going to get casted by any means, cuz I was like, wow, I'm all over the map clearly in life and in my storytelling. So there's no way they're going to find interest in this. And then we did the pilot and I thought, that's where they develop like the characters. They decide mm-hmm. like who's secondary or who, like whose story they're going to follow. And obviously everything, it revolves around Kristen. And so
Kristen Cavallari from The Hills, from the OC. No, not OC. From Laguna Beach.
Laguna Beach.
She's Laguna like Beach. The OG. She's the OG
of reality TV.
Laguna Beach was like the first one ever.
They have such an insane following. They brought The Hills back.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So... yeah, so, you know, it, like, started off, I'm like, okay, well, I work for her, so obviously there's the relevance.
So you already were working for her?
Not entirely. So okay. I knew her, I was working at Bar Taco at the time, so weird.
Best tacos in Nashville.
They're really good. Actually, we're best margaritas in Nashville. So I was over there yesterday, clearly. But I was doing catering. I was working in catering for Bar Taco at the time, and Block Agency Mark would come in mm-hmm. with Kristen. And so there was all these little conversations we'd have here and there. And then,
and that's a casting talent agency.
Yes. And so I worked for Mark, but Mark is also one of her really good friends. Mm-hmm. And so he knew that they were building a business. And so even though I was casted for the show, I also like handed in my resume.
Okay.
And had like an interview with Kristen about like what I could do.
Okay.
So it's almost simultaneous how it happened together. And then it just became like, I developed a really amazing relationship with Kristen and a love for Uncommon James. And so the job really surpasses.
Store.
Yeah. And the store is amazing. We're opening a second one in Chicago now.
Oh, nice.
We have a temporary location in LA. And so she's really taken off. And it's really been great to like work under her and work with her and, you know, friend mentorship and all of that. But
did you like manage the store, right?
I did. Now yeah. I'm director of IT.
What is IT?
IT is like everything you can imagine. So like from like fixing printers to like adding software to like building code, things
like
that.
Can you build code?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a genius like that?
I'm weird.
You can build code?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I speak
God.
In binary. Don't ask me to do math though. Like I'm zeros and ones only.
What does speak in binary even
like
mean?
Like zeros and ones. And like when you go in the back of something and see how it works and operates, like
you can figure that out.
I mean, I can read it. Yeah.
Did you go to school for that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
No, I originally went to school for video game design. So
what?
I know you would never think I'm like a total nerd.
But you're like so hot. It's like you're this video
grandma's boy
gamer.
That's what I thought. I was gonna be like, I was like, okay, all the great like producers of video games are women. Like people really don't know that. But I was like, okay, I can be like grandma's boy. Like I can speak it with all like the little nerdy crew, and I can be like the girl on top. Like this will be cool. And then that is not the way the world
went.
What does
grandma's boy mean?
It's a movie of a woman that like runs a video game company.
Oh my God.
No?
No, I'm learning so much today.
Dumb knowledge. There you go. That's what I'm full of today.
So you're director of IT. Okay. So how has it been having your life on TV? Because you got casted. You didn't think you would. Now,
didn't think the pilot would happen. I mean, the pilot went in. Didn't think first season would happen. First season happened. Didn't think second season would happen. And truthfully, like, you know, not to scare anyone or make it sound treacherous, but like no one is really safe because the job is contingent upon the show and not vice versa. So like mm-hmm. you really have to work, and the business is professional. And the more that it's grown, it's become even more pertinent, like that we're on the same page. And like I'm literally just got off a phone call right before I was taking a shower, like getting ready to go film. And then I have to go to work. So like you really can't just be on the show unless you're not really a part of the business, because otherwise like it's just growing so fast there's no time for like like I don't know if I
that's like two parts podcast,
but okay, like there's no time for the shit, like you just have to like you have to get your job done. And the company, I mean, like it grew, it's grown like, I mean, exponentially in the last year, even compared to the last 2 years that it's been around. So it just, it's been insane. So saying that, it's great that the show has done so well for the business, right? Like it's mm-hmm. put it on a great platform and it's built really quickly, but anything that builds really quickly has a lot of like hiccups along the way.
Cause it's just blowing up so fast.
Oh yeah. We couldn't find enough bodies to get in to be like, okay, we need to ship these things out. Like, okay, we went from like hundreds of orders to thousands of orders a day. Like yeah. the store, like on weekends, you can't even walk through. So, you know, we went from like one register to two registers to two registers and six iPods, you know, like mm-hmm. It's incredible. But the downfall of it being on TV is that everyone gets to see all those, mm-hmm. Which I guess makes it relatable and it's cool. Mm-hmm. And, but you like open yourself up to a lot of criticism that I think in the beginning, I really was not emotionally equipped for.
So what came at you in the beginning?
Well, I think everyone in the show, first off, was trying to find their way, except for Kristen, because she's been doing this forever.
Right.
So there was a lot of friendships that I thought I was building that maybe got blindsided and then had to learn the hard way on trust and relationships and shows.
And you had like some feuds too.
Mm-hmm. And they were real feuds.
They're real feuds. Mm-hmm. Have y'all still just gone your separate ways or?
I was actually on another podcast, and if you had asked me a couple months ago, I probably would have a lot snarkier of a remark than I do right now. But right now I feel like I'm at peace with it. I think that I've said my statement, and what I said then and what I say now is that I want everyone to eat, just not at my table. And I just figured that like I want you the best for you guys and everything's going to be great on your end, and I pray for that. But I've got to work on me. And so I think I've laid it to rest. But I think the 30s have made me decide what I want, what I don't want in my life.
Okay, so what is that?
I just want fun.
Yeah.
I just want to like, I want to have good people. I want to have laughs. I don't want to worry about stuff that's like insignificant. And I feel like in a lot of ways, there's so many big things happening in the world. And there's like, again, like the business is building, but then there's, you know, there's other things that you can do like charities or, you know, or working within the community or, you know, really building relationships or even like what you're doing, like being a mama, like things are so much more important than worrying about what someone's saying behind your back. So if it doesn't serve you, then you gotta go. And that's where I'm at.
And that's the thing though with being on a cast show like this though, it's like it's kind of hard to go when you're with these people all the time. Mm. How do you deal with working with people that you just don't vibe with?
I'm really bad at it. I wear my heart on my sleeve. It's really hard. If I don't get along with someone, it's very noticeable. And not like I'm mean or I'm malicious. I just shut down. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because I like protect my energy. I have this new core group of girls that are amazing.
Okay.
And I think
I've been seeing you guys like on the lake and stuff.
Yeah, I have like a girl tribe now, which is so cool.
How fun is that?
That's amazing. One of the girls is into stones and crystals and things like that, and I remember being around that. This one particular person, and she was like, I can just see your energy shift, like you just like poof. And she goes, you're protecting yourself, it's totally good, because every time this person talks to you, it just seems like you're sucking the life out of you just to have this conversation. And so she hands me this black stone. Apparently black stones and crystals are like to reserve the energy kind of thing. So saying that, I have a tendency to isolate and mm-hmm. Kind of remove myself, and I seem very disconnected and disjointed, but I'm professional. You know, there's a business to run, and everyone has a part to play, and it's not my business if they're there, whether I like them or not. We have a job to get done.
So you're kind of good at just like blocking. Mm,
I think so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Okay. So after the show became a big hit after season one and like it became a reality, what happened in your brain? Like, how did you transfer into this new mindset of like, girl, people are watching me, my whole life is on TV, like you're having feuds on TV, you're having your relationship with your then boyfriend, now ex-boyfriend, like all of this is happening on TV
so fast.
So how do you process all that?
Not well. I've been doing breathing techniques, I've been going to yoga.
Do you have anxiety?
Oh, I mean, if I, like, again, like if you had asked me a month ago, my anxiety was through the roof. And it's not for any other reason that I was like holding everything in. And I have been really researching like emotional trauma.
Okay.
And so I think what happens is when you put yourself through a traumatic experience, like not to be dramatic, but putting yourself on a stage essentially and opening yourself up to criticism all across the board.
Your whole personal life is now open for my everyone. Personal,
my work, my friendship, nothing was safe.
And everyone gets the right to judge it.
Right. And mm-hmm. then you have to like learn, you have to train yourself to not read the comments.
Are people mean?
Ugh. Not so much. I think for the majority of people that follow, actually, like I get some really great inspirational ones, like, you know, like I've seen your journey and I think you're doing a great job and you're like a really great beacon for women in business and things like that. But then there's all the little ones that are just like you should be fired, mm-hmm. or you don't belong in your position, or you can't, you're an HR nightmare, or, you know, your boyfriend doesn't, or he doesn't deserve that, and you're going to be alone because of the way you act.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little tough to hear, because I honestly would rather body shaming,
really,
than work ethic shaming or like my life shaming, because
work ethic is everything to you.
Oh God, yeah. I was like, please, you have no idea. I work 70 hours a week. Like, no way. But and then I try to like get quirky with it, and I'm like, HR loves me, haha. Like, and then you actually can't address it.
So you just have to ignore it.
It's so hard.
And how do you? Can you just not look at it, or is that just impossible?
I've been getting better.
Okay.
But it is tough because really, like, you want to be accepted. I think that's the whole point of social media, right? Like, you're being social, you're talking to people, you're engaging, and you're having a conversation for whatever it is, for likes or engagement or influencing. And you want people to follow your journey because ultimately you're becoming a brand similar mm-hmm. to what you do. But in that, there are people that are entitled to their truth and their opinion of you. And you just, it's been a ride to not take it personally. I've been really reading those four agreements, like, hard.
Oh,
it's
four
like
agreements.
On my phone, like,
that is, right. What are the four agreements? Let's go through them.
Why do I have everything in here? So be impeccable with your word.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take anything personally. That's the tough yes. one. Don't make assumptions and always do your best.
That is so true.
But I have to, like, when those moments are happening, I have to really do it.
Is the not taking anything personally the hardest? Oh, that's
a tough one. Yeah. Because how do you not? How do you not look across the table and someone says you should be fired and you go, why? What do you mean I should be fired? Like, why? What did I do? And all you want to do is prove to that person that you're
don't
worthy
know.
Of something. Right. But in the same fashion, the people that are loving on you, and not all because you have friends and all that, but the people that are loving you on social media, like, they know you just as well as the people that are hating on you. Mm-hmm. So why are we feeding the energy towards the negative, right?
I know.
Like, you just... across the board, it's great, but it's also very superficial.
Mm-hmm.
And if the show went away tomorrow, I'd be a nobody.
No, you would not be a nobody.
Well, I mean, in the own sense of like, it wouldn't be relevant to make those, you know, make those calls.
People
I don't
wouldn't
think,
be as engaged in your personal life, maybe.
Right. So at the end of the day, it is truly a relevance thing. And it's not, doesn't necessarily have to have the meat behind the bones kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And I had to really sit down with myself and be like, why is this triggering me? You know, why do I care so much? And the truth was, I wasn't proud of myself.
What were you not proud of?
I'm very big on self-deprecating. Even in this conversation, I watch myself say, I'm nothing special.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
And you're so special.
But I mean, I'm special to myself in my own right. But then I'm like, I don't want to come off vain. You know, like, but.
What is that that makes you not want to own your worth and your specialness? Because I struggle with that. I've always struggled with like owning my worth.
I never thought that about you.
Oh, that's been my biggest struggle my whole life.
Really?
Yes. Just not feeling worthy.
Tell me how.
I just always feel like the runt of the litter.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like you shine whenever you walk in the room.
I think I overcompensate. I think I shine hard and want to shine. See, it makes me teary because it's true. And I'm getting so much better at it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the more you learn this about yourself and the more you like embrace all of your, once you like accept these things that are lies.
Yeah.
But I just always felt like someone was better. Someone could do it better. I just didn't feel worthy for, or like if I get in a situation where, you know, I could have like a great thing happen, I always feel like I don't deserve it.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
I don't know why I feel that way, because I know I do, and I know I work hard, and I know that like I bring everything to the table that I need to, but it's also like,
yeah,
I don't have that like uber confidence where like, this is what I deserve. I am here. I have arrived. Mm-hmm. Thank you, world, for giving me my stage.
Thank you, world.
I just have never had that.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, to your point though, like that is something that I've always thought too. It's like, there's always someone prettier or smarter or worthy more. And the truth is there is always somebody better, but nobody's you. And I think that's where I've like, I have had to sink in.
Look at you telling yourself, this is the truth. You know this. Truth.
I know, but I never.
Why do you have that feeling though that you're self-deprecating?
I think I've always been a comeback kid. And so like, I've always dealt what I think has always been the hard road. And so, but I think I do it to myself. Okay. Like, I don't think like when things are starting to come easy, like the show, right? Like I got it. I'm like, there's no way I'm getting casted. I got casted. And I was like, there's no way I'm getting this job. I got the job. There's no way I'm keeping this job. And here I am, like, I've gotten like 4 raises and 3 title changes since I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? At what point am I going to be like, man, I worked my ass off and I deserve to be here?
So you're not there yet?
Not 100%. Sometimes I sit back and I'm like, I got this. And then there are other days where I'm like, I think what it really comes down to is I don't ever want to take it for granted.
Okay.
And I think I get that. Instead of like just saying, God, I am so thankful. Thank you so much. My intention today is to do better than I did yesterday and I will get there. I go, oh my God, what if I lost it?
Right.
Like, what if I do something wrong? Like, what if I'm not wearing the right outfit? Or what if I'm not saying the right words? Or what if I don't connect with this person? Like, what's going to happen? And mm-hmm. I will say as of today, I feel like I'm a lot better at it, but I was living in fear that things were going to change at all. And that comes too with that my entire life was opening up on a screen. And the hardest part about it all is not necessarily the fans or the social media or whatever it is. The hardest part is when you go to work or whatever conversation we have, you get to go home and tell your lover, your friends, like, man, that girl Brittany, like, you know, or whatever you truly feel about me. Mm-hmm. And I will never have to know about it.
Right.
The difference here is 6 weeks later, I watch it on screen. I watch what the conversation was between us two. I watch my reaction. I watch your reaction. And it rehashes it all over again. And I'm like...
And then the world gets involved.
And then the world gets involved. And it just doesn't become personal or intimate. And I think that to segue into like my relationship and why that has ended is that kind of it was taken over. And we lost a lot of what made ourselves special. And I don't think it's not the show's fault. It's the fact that we didn't foundationally have it together when we started it. And it really does dig you deep. But you have to really be solid in who you are and what you're doing. Otherwise, mm-hmm. it's going to fall apart because that's the point of what they're doing. Like, that's a story that they're telling. They want to know every little like nook and cranny of an insecurity you have. And they want to see you build out on it, but they want to dig it first. And so you start like opening wounds that you never thought you had before.
To give great stories.
Right.
Is it prompted or is it like, how do you protect yourself then? How would you suggest, not that everyone in the world is going to be on a reality show that's a hit.
Yeah.
Like, how do you...
Maybe everybody.
How do you protect yourself?
I think that I think it's the same thing in any media. Like, even if you're whatever realm you're in, like if you're a boss in your work, if you're an amazing podcast journalist, like if you're on a reality show, you have to literally sit with yourself when you enter into a new realm and say, what part of my energy am I going to give? Like, am I going to allow them? And in this sense, you know, I don't want, a lot of it has to be public and I have to talk about a lot, but there are things that I have told myself in my relationships that I will not talk about. Like my girlfriends, when they come on camera, they know that there are things within our friendship or stories that we have that like, we're like, no, these are sacred things. But you have to talk with those people and you have to talk with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problems. And this is something that happened last night where I was like, no, I'm not talking about that. Or no, I'm not doing that.
Is that new for you?
That is new.
When did that start happening?
Last year. Cause I watched it start to crumble.
What was crumbling? Just your life?
Life. Life. Only because like, again, even though the show revolves around Uncommon James, like I still had a job to do and I was getting so worn down thin. I was working like 60 to 70 hours a week at work and then topple on 30 hours on filming and then trying to make everything else work in between, like life.
And maintain your relationship.
Right. And not feel guilty, like mm-hmm. not feel guilty that something else in my life was taking a turn.
Right.
And so I, like, it really, honestly, when I turned 30, like my 30th birthday, this is my golden year. So 30 on 30.
Yes, girl.
And I like wrote these intentions for myself.
What'd you write down?
Like a lot.
Okay, let's hear
them. I was really impressed with myself.
Okay, let's hear them. I love intentions. I think that's so smart to do that.
Okay, let me get these.
Because I think you have to set goals for yourself or else you don't know where you're going.
Yeah. And I think that like what I learned too is like the difference between the goals and my intentions was like, I, these are things that I feel for myself, you know, like I can, like a goal, like to me was like, okay, I want to make millions of dollars, you know, but my intention was to love myself, you know, one, they're both attainable. I mean, one more than the other, but
right.
I feel like
it's a different,
it's a
different standard. Like your career goals. Okay. That's one thing, but your personal self goals.
Yeah. Like, or like my soul goals.
Soul goals. I love that. Your soul goals. Okay. What are your soul goals?
So I intend to forgive myself and move forward. And that was for personally, the stuff that I had allowed on TV, you know, and the fact that I felt like I lost myself and I was getting, at this point I had been getting mad at everyone. I was really angry. And truly, I was just mad at the little girl inside who just like couldn't speak up for herself. So mm-hmm. I said, I intend to forgive myself and move forward. I intend to not allow myself fall victim to circumstances of my past or the thoughts of others that are beyond my control. I intend to be a leader and through my own strength and growth, guide others in that direction. I intend to not take things personally and reflect before react in the moments that I do.
Smart.
I intend to eat healthy. Well, it kind of works a little bit. And keep my body, keep the castle that is my body strong and abundant. I intend to keep my mind in a positive, thoughtful, growing, and ever-evolving state. I intend to love with my whole soul and share my heart thoughts with those I care for. I intend to love myself unconditionally and not be afraid of the hard interpersonal communication, but always remember to hug the little girl within, for she is so loved. Mm. And then I talked about intend to be writing again. And so for the most part, I think I'm really living that truth. You know,
that's so powerful.
Yeah, I think one of those things that all of those had in common was I needed to be okay with being on my own. Yes. And not just physically, but emotionally be not sound. And I think for a long time I had been very codependent on how others felt about me, giving me the energy that I can only give myself.
How do you break that? Because that's hard. Like the people pleasing.
You have to purge. Like I did, you know, not necessarily just people, which I did, but I had to purge all these thoughts. Like I literally would say something and be like, okay, why did I do that? Like, why did I say the other day where I was just like, I can't do this. That's way too hard. And I remember going, why is it way too hard? Is it way too hard because I don't want to do it? Or is it way too hard because I can't do it? And what do I mean by I can't? Like, can I research it? Can I figure it out? Or do I just need to ask for help? And just being really truthful with myself, like, okay, maybe I physically can't pick up a 400-pound barbell because there's just like that just doesn't work. But if I needed to move it, could I figure out how to do it?
So when you said I can't do it, it's too hard, what was the actual answer when you thought about it?
I just needed to ask for help.
And were you able to do it?
Yeah. And wow. That's the other thing too, is like I, at this stage in my life, I realize how freaking stubborn I am.
You are.
Yeah. It's an ego pride thing to be like, I've done this. I did it, you know? But it's much more, someone told me in this transition of my life that strength is not determined by what you do on your own. It's determined by how you get through it and the strength of knowing like your limits, like knowing that I physically can't do something on my own. So I have to lean on someone or lean in. Mm-hmm. And that's been like a really eye-opening experience for me to be able to like lean into other people and onto them.
Why is that hard for you?
I think because for a long time I thought that it might have been a weakness.
Okay. You know? Like if you can't do it,
that people are gonna be like, wow, she's a lost cause.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And my mom, you know, like going back to my family, like my mom went through a few marriages and you know, I watched her be very like codependent. And I think also like I was raised like love don't pay no rent. And kind of thing, like be an independent female, get your sheepskin. Like, and for a while I was like, I'm this super feminist. Like I'm going to do everything. But like being like a gal's gal or a feminist or a strong woman or an independent woman does not mean that you don't ask for help.
So true. What have you learned from asking for help? What has actually, what did you thought that would be weakness, but what has it actually been?
It's made me be able to trust people.
Really?
Yeah.
Because before you couldn't trust?
Oh, God. No, because I thought everybody had a motive or an intention.
Why did you think that?
Because I think that's just how I felt. I'm like, if I, like, I feel like with everything that happened with the show, like, things were just kept secret in the beginning. And there was no discussion about it and no talks. Because truthfully, they're like, I would take it when they were like, hey, we don't want you to talk to Caroline until we get there because we want
an authentic conversation. It's to be captured on camera.
Right. But when I first thought about it, I was like, well, what's she going to say to me?
Oh, you thought they were going to catch you, like, get you in a trap.
It was like a fear. But in reality, they just wanted to catch an authentic conversation.
Totally.
That wasn't already had. Right. So the same thing with asking for help. I think for a very long time, I thought if I ask for help, they're going to walk away and they're going to say, wow, Brittany is really weak, or Brittany is really emotional, or she's not good enough. And it just comes from like self-doubt, you know, like that. If I ask for help, people are going to think I'm a moocher, or they're going to think I'm like weak.
Mm-hmm.
And but it really came down to, I thought I was weak, but in reality, no, like, it's been great. Like, this core group of girlfriends, I was like, man, I'm going through this breakup. I don't know if I can stay. We live together. And they're like, stay at my house. I'm like, are you sure? Like, absolutely. Like, doors open. And I realized, like, people don't offer help that they don't want to give.
That's,
you
know, so true.
It makes them feel good. And that was a great thing. So I could lean in on them, and then I can show appreciation, and then that develops a relationship. And now I have this forever friend that, like, I don't owe them anything. Like, I don't have to pay for my stay, but I pay.
It's love.
Right. It's just love.
It's just sharing love and being there for your friend, because that is, isn't that what life is, really?
Yeah.
But it's allowing yourself to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Has that been hard for you to be vulnerable?
I think so.
But you're doing it.
I think so.
What are you learning about vulnerability?
Oh gosh, that it's scary.
Like, why is it so scary? Because I feel like that's one of the hardest things for people to lean into.
Being vulnerable?
Yeah, because you're exposing the fact that...
You're showing your kryptonite.
Yeah. But we all have it, and we all need each other. So being vulnerable is so beautiful, but it is such a hard thing to do.
Yeah, but it is beautiful once you do it. Because, like, you realize, I think the only thing I can describe it is, literally, like, there's a picture of this, I think this boy, and he's, like, handing, it's like a cartoon image of this boy, like, handing his heart to this girl, and is like, not to break it, right? And I think that that's what vulnerability is. It's like, I'm literally showing you all of my cards, and I'm asking you not to fold.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'd even said that right, but
I don't know anything about cards. It sounded really good. Yeah. I get what you're saying, and
you
I
know,
like it.
Like, don't take it all. But and then, like, you know, you share a piece of yourself, and I think that, like, that part of, like, loving with my whole heart, like, part of loving with your whole heart is, like, giving someone those same things that you were afraid of, because they can't love just the best sides of you.
No.
You know, they have to love. And the same thing about, you know, when you do show those vulnerabilities, or when you do go a little too far, or maybe I've been talking about this breakup way too much. Like, I want my girlfriends to be like, all right, girl, time's up. Let's figure this out. Let's get, do we need a drink? Do you want a massage? Do you be like, do we need to go out for a night? Like, because, like, that's where that comes from, because you can't sit in your own shit all the time too. Right. Yeah. Like, I can't, like, cry about how I don't have anywhere to live or whatever I'm doing if I'm not helping myself or asking others for help. And that all that has a time frame of being like, okay, I'm going to allow myself this time to grieve and this time to fix it and this time to move on. And then I have another story I have to tell. And that's kind of where I think it's most important to be vulnerable, because otherwise I feel like you start just dwelling,
mm-hmm.
and then it all builds. And then that emotional trauma I've been talking about, I read this or I watched this article about, like, equivalenting emotional trauma to physical trauma. And it was like, a physical trauma, you step on a nail and what do? You address it.
Yeah.
You figure out whether you need help, or you take it out and you move on and you let your body heal and you don't think twice about it. Mm-hmm. But emotional trauma is like stepping on a nail and putting lidocaine in your foot for 10 years. And then the doctor going, I'm
reliving
sorry,
it
you
over
have
and over.
Gangrene. Your entire leg has gangrene. That's the equivalent of what you're doing. So, like, if you take all that emotional trauma and you hold it in, you know, I've held it in for a long time. I think that's why my Thai name is Paiuma, which means the hurricane is coming.
Your Thai name is Paiuma.
Paiuma, which means the hurricane is coming.
So it's just been building.
Oh God.
From your whole life?
Maybe. But my grandmother used to say too, like, my grandmother's Thai, by the way. That's where I got that from.
Okay. Well, you have beautiful. You look beautiful.
Like, thanks.
Your whole
right now.
I'm scooting towards you.
This,
yeah.
I'm okay. Scared of, like, I smell like tequila and you're pregnant.
Oh, I would love, like, breathe on me. I would love some tequila. Are you kidding me? I'm ready for some Mars.
Tequila and regret. Here we go. No regrets.
No regrets.
No regrets.
Okay, so the hurricane's been coming.
The hurricane's been coming, and here it is. And so I...
Well, thank God it's here, and you're just 30, so you can just go ahead and move through it.
I know. I can create a whole other island now.
You can create a whole other island. You don't have... You're free. You have no kids. You have no man. You have really just the responsibility of soul searching for yourself and making sure you're happy. Mm-hmm. So it's really the perfect time for the hurricane to hit.
Yeah, it is.
And you have a backbone of life now because you've lived through a lot of things.
Without being cynical. Like, there's I don't think that there is very much in my life that I haven't forgiven myself for or others. And I like saying that, though, I can create the boundary.
That's,
I now know important. What I will not say yes to. I'm not a yes man anymore.
Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
I remember I did that too, because there was a season of my life where I had broken up with my boyfriend, who's now my husband. I was living in Austin, and I was like, I'm just going to say yes to everything, because I didn't know what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I just was like, let's just try everything.
Yeah, which is great too. You have to.
But then you get to a point where you know your no's.
Mm-hmm.
And that is actually so inspiring when you find out what your no's are.
Yeah.
And now, to me, it's not even no's. It's like, if it's not a hell yes, it's a no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's even farther now. But you have to go through all of that whole transition of, like, yes, try it all, learn your no's, and then, like, really, where do you want to spend your time?
Yeah.
So how did you learn your no's? Just saying yes, and finally you're tired of being yes?
I moved to an island on my biggest breakup, and I did a lot of the yes. And
you really moved to an island?
I moved to St. Thomas when I graduated college. I broke up with a boyfriend then. It's very similar.
Great.
I was like, I moved away. I did whatever. And I was like living the island life, like a Rastafarian, and having the best time
ever. I'm kind of obsessed with this.
It was the best. I do miss it a little. But saying that, like, that's where my ambition came from, because there's only so much you can do on a rock. You know, and I was okay. I'm 23 and this is boring. And I gotta go do something.
Gotta get moving.
And then I went to Miami and I lived life in Miami. It was great. But I did everything. I went to every nightclub I could. I hung out with the who's who and the where's where, doing the what's what. And then I was like, God, I need some God in my life. Like, Miami is just like, this is crazy. And then Nashville showed up.
How did Nashville show up?
Literally just... like on a quote. There was some quote about, because I thought I was gonna move to LA, and there was some quote about LA to Nashville, and I was like, Nashville. And then my girlfriend was moving here, and she's like, hey, do you want to go check it out? I was like, yeah, you know what, I do. So I visited in October, I found a place in November, and then I decided I'm pretty impressed with myself, 25. I decided I was gonna spend Christmas by myself. So I moved here on Christmas Eve.
What? And spent on Christmas Eve? Mm-hmm,
and spent Christmas by myself. Like, went to church, went to a midnight mass by myself, went to a Chinese restaurant, like, went to a movie, and spent Christmas all alone.
How was that?
It was liberating.
You weren't sad?
I mean, I was sad. I missed my family, but I think that was the point, was like, you know, I was getting to a place of being numb, of being like, what makes me happy and what do I miss, and where are my values?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you spend such a, like, family oriented, life giving event like Christmas on your own, you really realize what you miss. And I needed it.
So it just kind of like opened up, cracked open your soul.
Yeah. I needed to believe in Santa again is really what happened.
You needed to feel
I wrote
that
a note
magic.
To Santa and everything. You I was did? Like, I'm going to bed. Yeah. I mean, I ate my own cookies, but that's fine.
So that's amazing. What did you find out in that experience?
I found out that I was okay with being alone, but that that's a choice, you know? And I found out that I missed my family. And so I've really made efforts in the last 5 years. Cause like I've been a vagabond since a kid. Like, when I turned 18, I couldn't wait to get out of the house.
Yeah.
And I couldn't wait to like go out and do adventures, and like, I don't have a family where like they're going to kill me if I don't come for a family event, but they'll be sad. But I really made that advance of like I could call my mom like every day, if not every other day. I never did that. My grandparents, you know, like when I go home, I used to stay like at a hotel or with a friend and then like visited my grandparents. Now when I go and stay with my grandparents and visit elsewhere, because those are my core people and I love them and I miss them and I don't want to miss a moment, you know, and knowing that time is now getting so limited. And it's really made me intentional on who I spend my time with, because I was like, where am I missing? Like, where is my heart yearning for the most? So it was good. And it's been great.
That. Yeah. That's so true, because I think it's so important at some point in your life to do exactly what you did. Move to an island, move to Miami. Obviously, you don't have to really move to these places, but live this kind of life where you are in the scene. You are living it up. You are like on the town, in the life, doing everything, because that's fun. And it's important, I think, to know what that feels like.
Oh, yeah. And experience other people. Like, that was the thing, too. Yes. Is like, the people in Miami are not the people in St. Thomas, and they are not the people in Philadelphia, and they are not the people in New York, and they are certainly none of them are like the people in Nashville.
So you lived in all those good places?
Yeah.
When did you live in New York?
It was like a summer. I dated some guy for like 3 months.
Okay.
I love it. But they're not the same people in LA. Like, just being able to like experience like, or like be a tourist in a city and like just live life and like live with everybody. And the greatest thing about traveling and like being in different places and really spending intentional time in those places, that you lose any, and prejudice is the wrong word, but like any stigma of how you like view people, because you just like, I just wanted to see people interact. Like, yeah. I wanted to go to a full moon party in St. Thomas. Like, I wanted to spend Christmas on my own and hold hands with a strange woman in Nashville. Like, I wanted to have like the best pizza in New York City after like going to all the nightclubs. Like, I wanted to go and sit at a game at the Miami Heat and watch the fans like during three-peat. Like, I wanted to see it, like the total element of what makes a city, and just be like, okay, cool. And then take from those people these learning lessons of like what I won't do. You know, like, I won't spend my entire life without any ambition and just like let a coconut fall from a tree, because I think there's so much more to life that you like, you're meant to be on this life to give. So you can't just like isolate completely, but sometimes you need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and same thing with Miami. Like, it's great to have fun, but sometimes you need substance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a really great learning experience. I think overall I've done the human life pretty well.
What have you learned about people in general?
I think people are at their very core really good, and they just want to be accepted. And I think everyone along the way gets a little lost on what that means and how to define it. And life gets in the way. But I think in their very core, everyone is just really good. You know, mm-hmm. I see love in everyone I meet. Even the people I end up not being friendly with, I know at the very end of the day, someone loves them and they deserve it. And that they just want love.
Yeah. That is so amazing. Yeah. You have done so much in your 30 years.
I know. What's going to happen in the next 30 years?
It's going to be beautiful, because you have such a solid foundation. And I love following your Instagram, because you do a lot of like quotes and a lot of...
I know. Sometimes I wonder if it's too much for
people. No. Like positive self-talk. And I actually talked to a lot of people about self-talk, because I had really bad self-talk for a long time, and I've really worked on changing my self-talk. It kind of went hand in hand with like self-worth and all that. What is your self-talk like?
Mine is I have to learn to be a little gentler with myself, because mine is a little sarcastic. Mine's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why are you doing that? What's wrong with you? And then I had to like take away. I was like, stop saying what's wrong with me. Nothing is wrong with me. Like, I remember sitting in the mirror like, why am I talking this way? But it's more, it's a little crazy. My self-talk is nuts.
No, I think all of our self-talk is nuts.
But do you think it has anything to do with like being a woman? Like, I wonder if like as little, like when we grow up as girls, like girls in middle school, like tend to like just be mean to each other sometimes. I was that kid. I got made fun of a lot in grade school. Oh God.
Yeah. I think it sticks with you. I think if you are... I think whatever happens and imprints you as a child does stick with you and kind of triggers your self-talk.
Yeah. And so I think that for me definitely had like an impact. And so having to like remove all the wiring.
Rewire.
Mm-hmm. And just like, again, my self-talk is, I might be a little sarcastic, but then I turn around and I go, why did I just do that? Like, why am I saying that? Why do I feel this way? Why am I so reactive? What's going on with you? Did you have too much coffee today?
So you'll get down to it. You'll get down to the bottom. You'll catch yourself.
Oh, I have to have the root. And I do it with everything I do too. And I think that's the good and the bad of me, is that even like, for example, somebody in my life had a rumor that was being spread about them. And I was like, well, you got to go to the source. I'll call her.
Just get after it.
Hello, girl. Hi. You know,
what's happening here?
Don't say something you don't mean, or that you don't want someone to call you on. But that can also be misconstrued as aggressive, but for me it's just like tell the truth or shut up.
Instead of like just letting it circulate and spin and create right. a whole life, just knock it out.
Right.
I'm the same way. Like if there's something that needs to be addressed, let's just address it.
Right.
Well, and especially if you know your intentions are good. Like I know personally, I'm not trying to mess anyone's life up.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone has the wrong intention of me, it probably is not intent. For sure is not my intention. So let's talk about it.
Right.
Give me a chance to talk about it. And if you still don't like me, then that's fine.
Right. And half the time, by the time it gets to that person, it's already like 16 times over the story that was already the original one. So you have to go to the person that said it first. And I've learned to be gentle even about that. Like, what's up? You know? And if you did say it, I want to know why. Right. And is it something that we resolve, or is it something that we've got to like go to coffee over, or maybe we can't go to coffee because we'll throw out the coffee on each other. But like, let's just figure out why, you know? And I don't need you to like me or accept me, but I do need you to respect me.
I love that. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Because my people pleaser wants everyone to like and accept me.
I mean, it's hard. I there are days where I'm like, please just love me.
I know.
But
you're right. If you can just respect you, that's really the goal.
Yeah. Because everyone deserves that.
Yeah.
You know?
Just being a human.
Yeah. Be a good human.
So what are your goals this year? 30 years old. You're just starting filming season 3 of Very Cavalieri. Mm-hmm. You're single. You got a girl tribe. You're living like your living best life. What's on the horizon for you? And then I'm gonna let you go because you gotta go film.
Oh, what time is it?
You gotta.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we gotta wrap up.
Timing. We are getting. We're great.
Yeah.
What is life gonna look like in the 30s? I want to travel a little bit more. And I think I'm really gonna start looking at, only because I know that this time is limited. You know, with like the show and all of that stuff. Like my job, I want to do really great with my job, and I want to do some really cool projects. You know, we just launched a software called NetSuite, and that was like my biggest project.
NetSuite?
Yeah, it's like an ERP model. It's like a
You're speaking in a language I don't understand.
I know, but it was great for me. It was like one of those
big, ERP model.
It's like
what?
ERP.
It was NetSuite.
So it's like, okay, so it would be the equivalent of you starting this podcast, like the gratification of like that launching.
Okay, so it's just like this is big deal for you.
It was a big deal. So now I want to do one more big deal, but I want to, you know, I really want to figure out my trajectory with Uncommon James and how that's going to look. But you know, with the show and knowing that that is limited to like, whatever, it could get canceled tomorrow. I want to figure out what my passion is and then turn that into something as well, I think. But right now, just living in the moment, I want to really love on my girl tribe. And I really just want to have fun. I just want to like be so excited about things. Like I want to live like a little child and be like, you know, people have been doing such nice things for me. And I feel like my eyes brighten, and that has been the best feeling in the world, is like, I'm no longer numb. I'm just so excited. Or if I'm sad, I'm sad, but I'm like, I'm allowing myself to be sad. You know,
you're not fighting it.
No. Why?
And those feelings aren't bad. It's okay to feel sad. And actually, you should just go ahead and feel it all the way and get through it.
Get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because on the other side of that is a rainbow.
It is. And I think you have to feel it all the way to the bottom. Mm-hmm. And once you get to the bottom, then you're like, okay, I actually lived through this. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't die.
Yeah, I didn't die.
And it opens you up in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of bottom, are you dropping at all?
She's due. By the time this podcast airs, she'll be born for sure.
Are you so excited?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I mean, I'm going to be a mom. I don't know if I'm qualified, but it's happening.
Hey, I don't think anybody's qualified for anything, but you just get blessed.
You just get blessed and you just roll with it.
Yeah. Okay. You're going to be an amazing mama. I just know it.
You're sweet. I hope so. I hope we're like Kate and Goldie Hawn, like Kate Hudson and Goldie Hawn. That's my dream. Really? I want her to love me. See, yeah. I'm already like, please just love me. Please be my best friend.
See, that's what it is. It's like, but there's an unconditional love between a mama and her kid. So like, there's no worry there.
But I want her to like want to love me. I don't want her to feel forced to love me. I want her to like just love me. You know, like think I'm the coolest.
Do you ever see the one with the little kid with the cookie? And he's like, I like you. I love you, mommy. But sometimes I don't like you. I'm like, I can handle that. My kid's like, I love you, but sometimes you're not fun. Like,
right.
All right. Okay. Fine. I get it.
Well, I know. Cause you
neither are you when you're teething.
Yeah. I guess you got to have the boundary. It's going to be great. It's going to be a big adventure. I'm excited.
It's going to be a big relationship.
the biggest. Okay. So I wrap every podcast with Leave Your Light.
Okay.
So obviously you're super inspiring. You've learned a lot. You have a lot of knowledge, wisdom, all sorts of things. What do you want to share with people? Like, what is just something that you want people to know that maybe you wished you knew, a piece of advice, just some words of wisdom that you want to enlighten. I don't, you know what I'm trying to say.
Okay. I have been living this Native American story, and it's been something that has really sat with me, and I even want to get a tattoo of it. I love it so much. But this is something that I really live by. So a grandfather is telling his grandson that there are two wolves that live inside of me. Mm-hmm. One of them is love and acceptance and empathy, and the other is hate and jealousy and anger. And the grandson says, which one wins? To which he replies, whichever one you feed.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
So feed the right wolf.
Drop the mic. You're amazing.
I love you.
Hey,
I love you.
Thanks for dealing with me today. Literally, wait till your kid comes home. I'm not over. I'm just telling you, it's gonna be. This moment, you're gonna relive it.
I just showed up and you're in a towel and you're like, who the hell are you?
I'm like, nobody's supposed to be here today. And you're like, Brittany Taylor. It's me, Caroline Hobby. And I was like, oh my god.
Is this the right?
It's like, dude, where's my car? That was the moment I had.
I was like, we've been texting, right?
I'm like, no, we haven't.
You sent me this address. I'm like,
no, we have not been texting.
Like, how did I get here?
There you go. There was like, wait a minute, it's Caroline. God.
Hey, I love it. It's great. You.
Thanks for giving me grace. I needed that today.
You're the best. Thanks for this podcast. It's going to have a great day filming.
Thank you.